When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets, in the car while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Hey guys, so we spend a big chunk of today's episode discussing OnlyFans and their recent policy changes. However, that conversation was recorded prior to them reversing those policy changes. But the conversation was great. I think it's really interesting and important, and we cover a lot of great ground, and we have a very cool guest. So we're going to go ahead and we are going to run it anyway. You're welcome. And thank you.
Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Welcome to the worst year ever, Brosifs and Brosifinas. Brosifs and Brosifinas.
I don't think it's Brosifinas.
The two genders.
It's Brosife.
Brosife?
Yeah.
Getting Latin up in this shit?
Brosif and Brosife. Well, mm-hmm. We have to, you know, yes.
I thank you for being inclusive of our Latin-speaking native listeners, yeah. of whom we have ones.
At least one.
So I want to start this episode with a little continuation of our Afghanistan episode, because I was just on Facebook and a friend of mine shared a segment from someone else's post that I think really says it all. Quote, Taliban's retakeover shows what implacable hustle and a Sigma grind set can get for you. Even the biggest hurdles, the biggest foes are nothing compared to a player with his eyes on the bag. Your mixtape ain't banging. Your ebook ain't selling. Just don't quit. Your Kabul is yours.
Get real.
Oh, my God. Hell yeah.
No way. No way.
That's incredible.
The Virgin U.S. military versus the Chad Taliban. Unbelievable.
Robert, I really thought that we'd unpacked everything last week, and then we talked mm-hmm. about it some more and even more news. And at that point, I was like, yeah, we're done talking about Afghanistan, but you broke the mold here. Mm-hmm. You had new to offer.
Yeah, we're doing this whole episode. We're going to talk about the Taliban Sigma grind set. Here to tell us about the Sigma grind set is Courtney Kosak. Courtney!
Oh my God, this is a whole nother episode than I was expecting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not, you to do that.
When did it become clear to you that the Taliban were ultimate Sigmas?
Coming live from the Taliban, Courtney Kosak. Yeah. Hey guys, I'm here to talk about OnlyFans, so.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Okay, well,
that's.
Hey, oh, speaking of hustle culture.
Yeah,
exactly.
No, we're thrilled to have you here today to join us to talk about OnlyFans and not the Taliban, unless it circles around naturally back to that. I'm not opposed to it at all. But yeah. Thank you for joining us. So you are here today to talk to us about what is going on at OnlyFans and what that means for sex workers and content creators who rely on the platform for income. Could you maybe start by telling us a little bit about yourself and how you started using OnlyFans and what your background is and everything?
Yeah, totally. So I actually started, this is so kind of random, but after the, George Floyd's terrible murder and the protests that came out of that, I was like, oh, how can I do something that's like bigger than donating my own $30, mm-hmm. right? So I did one of those things where I was like, I'll send you a, you know, tip pick or whatever if you send me a receipt. And I was like really strict about the receipts that I got. So I'd have to validate them. And then, you know, I got so many requests. It was crazy. I was like, wow, sex really does sell. So I raised over $30,000 for that.
Whoa.
Yeah, it became like a little bit of a full-time job. Did that kind of longer than I was expecting. And then I was like, hey, I really kind of enjoy this.
Yeah.
I've been in a relationship for now 5 years. It was 4 years a year ago when I started my OnlyFans account. And, you know, after a while, you're like, is this it? Is this my whole sexuality? Mm-hmm. Like, just this one guy? I don't know. So, it was perfect for me. I love exhibitionism and... that's kind of what my whole account's like, kind of like so, French topless titties. And
I mean, it sounds fun. So you initially were drawn to the platform as a way to fundraise, but after a while it became clear that this was a line of work that you enjoyed and it felt empowering. And so you started to use it for yourself.
I was first doing that initial like fundraising effort was like mostly happening in my Twitter DMs.
Gotcha. So okay.
Eventually I was like, let's move this out. And then I gave a percentage at first.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
I mean, this is what the impetus was wonderful, but I think it's also very cool that in doing that, you realize that this is a viable.
Yeah.
Career choice for you, which I'm also, you are also a comedian and a podcaster. So this is also just a writer version of the world that we live in of leveraging your different social media platforms in different ways. So I guess now is the time to talk about what's going on at OnlyFans, the changes that are going into effect. If you want to talk to us a little bit about this.
Yeah, totally. So it's so funny because OnlyFans just right before this all went down was like, we would never abandon the people that brought us to the dance, basically. And then it was, it just came up fast, I think, and has been like a huge shock to everyone. I'm part of.
Yeah, I think that's what's really important about that. I mean, there's lots of things that are really important, but OnlyFans exists and has gained, you know, popularity because it has been used by sex workers or content creators that, you know, tap into that world. I don't know. I'm not going to put a label on how you would identify yourself, but there's lots of different degrees of this kind of a work. And this is a safe space where people could step in and take control of it. On their own terms. And so it gained popularity for these types of creators. And now that they are looking at investments and they are receiving a lot of pressure from banks who do not want to be associated with pornography or, you know, anything sex work related because of pressure from Christian groups and other, you know, conservative groups, et cetera. So all of this pressure is coming down on to OnlyFans, and they've announced that as of October 1st, they will not be allowing people to upload, post, display content that, well, I'll just start reading through, but promotes, advertises, or refers to sexually explicit conduct, which means actual or simulated sexual intercourse, including genital to genital, oral genital, anal genital, or oral anal between persons of any sex, actual or simulated masturbation, any exhibition of the anus or genitals of any person. Okay, I'll go on. You know, lots of rules that are coming down in different ways on this community, but they are saying that nudity would still be allowed within reason. But what are those boundaries? It's a gray area that we already see happening on other, you know, sites, on Instagram, on Facebook. You know, this has long been a battle.
A couple of years ago, Tumblr did the exact same thing, where they just got rid of sexually explicit content. And is that a popular website now? Do people use that website anymore?
Suicidal, yeah, totally.
Absolutely.
So it's just particularly bizarre considering OnlyFans specifically was, that's what this was. That's why this took off. And as you're saying, like, the people who invited them to the dance and brought them to the dance and just putting everybody out to dry.
And if you post anything, like, it's also unclear. I'm assuming there might be more specificity, but, you know, if you're found in violation, it will lead to you being permanently suspended, your earnings being revoked. Again, this is something that people rely on.
It's also just a super bummer, I have to say, as someone who, like, I was really excited about the cultural shift that I felt was happening during the pandemic. And it felt like, and maybe I'm just in an LA bubble, but it did feel like there was this new wave of acceptance and, like, understanding that of sex work being a real job and, like, of it holding, like, a valuable place in our society. And I just feel like, I think the community is strong. Like, I think that people have gotten a lot out of this and sex workers have found solidarity. I know I'm part of this, like, comedy hoes group, chat group where, you know, like, people give each other advice and stuff. And I think privileged people will be able to, like, migrate. But I think the reaction, like, yes, it matters because this is how people make a living. And, you know, of course it matters for that reason, but it's also, like, kind of an emotional blow where you're like, oh, I thought we were kind of, like, working past this.
We were taking steps forward. I completely agree with you. And I think it's a really important point and a part of this conversation because, right, I just briefly walked through why these changes are happening. Okay, this is because of cultural pressure from institutions that have been around for a long time that are resistant to change and have stigmatized sex work. Sex work, which we all now know and should, well, first off, sex work, which has been around since the beginning.
Right.
This isn't something new. This isn't
a moral
issue.
We have a phrase about it. A popular phrase about how it's the first job.
Yeah.
Ever.
And there are all sorts of crucial things, real important things that are life and death that, you know, banking institutions and investors could actually care about making a stink about and could actually apply pressure onto companies for positive change. And this isn't one of them. And why it's so disappointing exactly is because we feel like we're finally at this point where we are having conversations about sex and sexuality and recognizing the detrimental effects of repression within our economy, within our personal lives, within our relationships, all of that. It feels like a really important and good thing, steps that we're moving forward. But at the same time, stuff like this happens. And I would be remiss if I didn't also bring up FOSTA SESTA. If you guys remember from a couple years ago, FOSTA SESTA being the legislation that was passed to shut down, sex trafficking, specifically child sex trafficking. And it mostly targeted Backpage.
Backpage and like the classifieds of Craigslist and things like that.
Exactly.
Where, because that's one of the other things is like this was a safe space for sex workers to take control over their own like job and their own lives and not have to go. I mean, there's a cut that's taken because it's an app.
20%.
You know, there's always going to be spaces created and like you're saying, like Backpage and these places where there's at least a digital space to safely meet people and vet people And taking that away seems damaging. This is just, another instance of that, mm-hmm. where it's created for a purpose and then just.
Also, OnlyFans is acting a little bit like they, like, poor us, we had no choice. It's just the banks, you know, yada, yada. And first of all, from my research, there's a couple things. They could be their own payment processor. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There are mm-hmm. other sites that are doing that, like FanCentro. And then there's also this thing that's called a form or 2257 form. I think I'm saying that right. But it's basically where, if I had someone who was I was having sex with on my OnlyFans, I could have them like validate their who they are and confirm that this was consensual and that they like wanted to be filmed for this. And it's the same thing that like, anyway, they could fill that out. It would not be terribly hard from my point of view for them to implement something like that. And then no problem. Then, that's like one of the major things that the payment processor that I think it was MasterCard had an issue with was like, we can't validate that these people wanted to do this and that they're of legal age. But it's like, okay, but you know how to solve that problem.
You easily can.
Yeah. Clearly excuses for this.
It's
and
excuses.
Even like finding, like they're having trouble finding investors. Are you really?
No, you're not. There's just the different kinds of investors.
It's
they want
very,
to be
it's a
seen.
Very successful app.
This is just cover for the fact that they want to be seen as mainstream, even though they are.
Yeah, they are.
Approaching it at least from the original trajectory, but they want, more mainstream users to be attracted.
They want celebrities
and
influencers, right? They want to use it for like, do your posts and your like cameo stuff or whatever. There are other places for that. Just the idea of like we need a place for celebrities to go to post things. Uh-huh. Like, do we?
So they can. Yeah. They don't make enough money. Where are we going to pay them?
How do we know about them already?
I want to say a couple more things about FOSTA SESTA as a part of this conversation, mostly in the impact it's had as we're, mm-hmm. Just context for some of this. Like we talked about, the original justification was sex trafficking, but it's not like they don't understand how beneficial places like this are for the rest of the community, but also the fact that it doesn't really reduce sex trafficking at all.
Right.
To just put it underground more, right?
Know what? Sex trafficking existed before we had the internet. So it's interesting how it continues to exist even if you drive it underground and in fact make it harder to sniff out.
Welcome to the worst year ever.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
So this is from Y.org, a piece that they had put out. In the 2 years since, sex work advocacy groups have reported a spike in the number of missing and dead sex workers across the country. People have reported that more folks are engaging in street sex work after Backpage got shut down, Albert said. Generally speaking, street sex work is more dangerous than the sort of sex work that was engaged over the internet.
Especially during a pandemic.
Totally. Exactly.
Especially during a pandemic. Yeah, it says more than 70% say FOSTA SESTA has affected their financial situation negatively. 26% of respondents reported an increase in the exacerbation of mental health symptoms. And again, there has not been much, if any, evidence that it has reduced sex trafficking and has, in fact, greatly increased the negative aspects on everybody else's life.
I mean, what I see is creators who are empowered to sell their own whatever they're trying to sell on the site. And so they're like cutting out the middleman. And I know, you know, and so, yeah, I just feel like I hate that the sex trafficking conversation gets so much a part of this.
Yeah. And I'm sorry to bring it up now. I only do because this has been something on my mind.
It's totally
relevant. And yeah. Watching. And as soon as this news broke, it's the first thing I thought. Was like, well, time to go back and look at how that worked out. And nobody's talking about it. There's been a lot going on, but nobody's talking about this. And like, yeah, you mentioned the pandemic. I just think about this effect on so many different ways on this community. So you've got another month on the platform before these rules go into effect. Are you continuing for now to keep going on and do your part? Like, has there been any sort of organizing or plan to push back on this? Or have you heard about other sites that are, I know that there are other platforms emerging.
There doesn't seem to be like a super attractive alternative yet, mm-hmm. you know? And I mean, for me, like, I'm not super eager to move unless I think that the platform is gonna, you know, be a good solution. What I've seen I'm scrolling through the group now is like mostly people trying to figure it out and like asking themselves these questions. It hasn't been that much time, you know. Right. I don't know, because I am sort of like in this gray area. Like you mentioned, the things that you can't do on the site, and like what I do is in that kind of like vague statement about like, mm-hmm. we will allow nudity, but you know, what does that mean? I don't know. I'm like, maybe I can continue. Maybe OnlyFans is gonna change something in the next month. I don't know.
There might be some learning from the response, but I can't imagine that it's gonna be enough to protect the entire community that uses that place. Uses the site
until it affects their bottom line, like
sure,
you know, which by then it'll be, well, everyone will have left, so
everyone will have left.
Be like, please come back, we changed our mind, like it's not gonna work.
Well, there is a little bit of that backpedaling already,
mm-hmm. yeah, mm-hmm.
now
of course classic. Is there talk even of like
sex workers, we love you,
yeah.
I'm sorry, we never acknowledged you before, but
they're putting out those like pandemic commercials, like, today on this day we want to honor our sex workers who brought us here.
Sex work is real work, like, what are you doing?
Are you friends? Have you connected with other? Have you connected with other creators that use the site in different ways from yourself? And have you heard any experiences for them or any of the struggles that they're going through? Because I know that people depend on this income, and going to be a huge loss. Like
it's huge. We did a whole series on our podcast that was our Comedians of OnlyFans series. And, you know, those girls that we were interviewing were making a ton of money. We're like planning to buy houses. We're like, you know, making big decisions with this money because it was kind of life changing and career altering. And so, those are the same creators that I'm seeing now, like in our chat group and just, you know, in conversation, just being like, okay, so what do I do now? You know, and some, like, one of my friends has kids. It's like, it doesn't just affect these people. It's like right. their whole families. And it's like a really big, the implications are huge. And so I don't know. It doesn't seem to be like there's a solution yet.
Right.
But is people there any are freaked out.
Where yeah. like, you know, people like come together and like, I'm just like, my mind's like, someone make a new one. Like and own it together. Well, and then being even more in charge of the
it
platform.
It is a good opportunity if someone is waiting in the wings.
Right.
And
with
I'm
like,
sure
you know,
it's developing. It's just about, then there's the period of time of building up a fan base or a base on a new platform, because it's not like it's easy to get.
Well, right.
To
it would require like, aside from like make the app, but like, you know, big, like larger consensus creators and content creators like coming together and being like, because if people move to somewhere, the people subscribing will move there too. It's just,
yeah.
You guys need to unionize.
I agree. I also just think, like, I could migrate my subscribers relatively easily. So I do think if there is some sort of coordinated, like, okay, at least the girls in, for instance, the Comedy Hoes group, we're all going to, you know, plan to migrate our subscribers together. And then as long as the cut is fine, which is a huge problem, most of these places are even right. higher. They're taking 30%, 40%. And then it's like, why am I even doing this? You know? So somebody came out with like another 20% platform, and oh, this is another thing too. OnlyFans hasn't been promoting. I mean, they've been getting a ton of free PR because of sex workers on the platform, but they haven't been promoting the sex workers on their platform to their subscribers. Who they promote to their subscribers is like a YouTuber who's like, you know, a chef or, you know, whatever. It's
at this point, they don't deserve you guys to stick around. They need to get their shit together, or someone else, please fill this void.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking of the Taliban, isn't one of the problems that like a replacement to OnlyFans would have the fact that these kind of moral crusade groups keep going after payment processors and stuff?
Yeah, absolutely.
That was so smooth, Robert. That was so
thank
smooth.
You.
Way to bring seamlessly bring it right. back to that.
I'm a professional even when I'm actively dying of a stomach virus.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you've done your job, go throw up again. Yeah.
I love that the pandemic has created a world where you can show up to work sick, actually, just via Zoom.
I always showed up sick at work at the old job. Whenever I would show up and be ill, I would just walk to Cody's desk first and you know get some fluids on some of his possessions.
Yeah, just wipe stuff on other stuff.
Right? Yeah, exactly. That's why we're such close friends. Mm-hmm.
You share so much together.
We share microbiomes.
Exactly.
Courtney, this has been really great chatting with you. Can you tell us a little bit about your podcast as well? You mentioned it.
Her podcast rules.
Aw, thank you, Sophie. Yes, thank you guys so much for having me on. I have a podcast called Private Parts Unknown. It's about love and sexuality around the world.
Cool.
Yeah, it's super cool. We've been to Helsinki. We've been to Mexico City. We went to Tokyo right before the pandemic.
What so, a like,
I know, it was amazing. It was like a that's why I kind of couldn't believe it when I came back and the pandemic was happening. And then we just actually took a trip to Belize, and so we're gonna start rolling out.
How do I get to be a part of your show? I want to travel places and record podcasts.
Pretty cool premise, I have to say. Good job.
I love
us.
That. Well done. We tried to do that, but we couldn't travel around once the pandemic.
But also, like, our destinations were gonna be like CPAC.
Destinations very, depressing.
Totally.
Not fun, like, show. Belize.
hang out in Newark and listen to Dan Crenshaw talk to a bunch of, like, lanyards.
Up to 24 years old, Cody. Exactly. No one over 24.
Can you tell our listeners also where they can find you online?
Yes. I am at Courtney Kosak, last name K-O-C-A-K, pretty much everywhere. And hey, if you want to sub to my OnlyFans.
Yes.
Coco Peep Show.
Hop on that train for the next month, and then maybe further in the future, we'll see what happens over the course of the next month. But do it
TBD,
now.
TBD, but I got you for the next month for sure. So,
all right. Thank you, Courtney. And we will be back after this break for more things.
Cool. Oh, things.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
And we are back from that break.
Yay.
Robert is very sick.
Oh, I'm dying.
We appreciate him for being here. It's only appropriate on the worst year ever. Part two.
Yeah.
But we wanted to hear the update about what's going on in Portland. And I know you guys talked about it a lot today already, but I think our listeners are also interested. So thank you.
Some stupid shit happened
in
Portland.
Stupid shit.
If you want to, the episode that'll be dropping on Wednesday, If It Could Happen Here, was largely about kind of our critiques of the anti-fascist response to this big Proud Boy rally, which I think is valuable if you're trying to analyze performance and how things could go better. But I think today we'll kind of talk about, on a national level, what's been happening in Portland and kind of where it fits in. So,
great.
It's worth noting that the kind of street clashes between anti-fascists and, you know, fascists started in Portland about kind of late 2016. a good year or so.
Was something going on in late 2016? Sorry.
I don't know, Cody.
There's no way to tell. Okay. But it kicked off about a year before things happened, the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville. And while kind of Charlottesville had its horrible, violent right-wing protest, and, you know, a couple other cities, if at like Kenosha, have had protests and counter-protests that turned deadly, it's just kept happening in Portland. It happens all the time. It happens every week, really. Not every week, but like every year. Like the summer is generally like a right wing groups will come into town and fight and assault people and take over chunks of neighborhoods and shoot paintballs at bystanders and stuff, which is what happened on the 22nd. They totaled some cars, assaulted a bunch of people, just kind of ran roughshod through a heavy, like the most diverse neighborhood in Portland while the police did nothing. And there's a, so because kind of a lot of this started in Portland, it's been kind of the, where these different groups have tested strategies before bringing them out to other parts of the country. So, they started, it was where they kind of started working with law enforcement and building bridges of sympathy with local police. And you saw that kind of come to a head on the 6th in a lot of ways. It's where they, you know, Salem, an hour from Portland, was the first time one of these right-wing groups physically attempted to breach and take over a Capitol building just like a week or so ahead of January 6th. And, you know, in recent weeks, you've seen members of Proud Boys try to embed with kind of other religious right-wing gatherings and kind of try to camouflage, you know, Proud Boys and members of other extremist groups in that sort of situation. And so it behooves everyone to kind of pay attention to what happens in Portland, because it always happens here first, you know. As goes Portland, so goes the nation. And one of the things we've seen this last week or so is, you know, everyone knew this, the 22nd, was going to be a horrible, violent time. People started freaking out in Portland about it a couple of weeks ago. Anti-fascists started rallying and putting together a counter protest, and the mayor was finally forced to issue a statement in which he suggested people choose love, and also said the police will take no action to protect anybody. And they sure didn't.
Wow.
They sure did not. And so people were assaulted. And this is like, I'm not actually, when I complain about the police not doing anything, it is not to say that I think the solution here is to send the police in, because when the police do come in, they primarily attack the left-wing side and collaborate with and work with right-wing protesters. Part of the reason why this situation has gotten so bad in Portland is going on 5 years now of the police using kid gloves on these people while they assault folks. So
it gives them open season. They feel emboldened.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's part of the problem. And the solution to that isn't just give the cops more money. Because, like, one of the reasons they said they couldn't have responded in Northeast Portland to this gigantic brawl where Proud Boys are just shooting bystanders with paintball guns and macing people and totaling cars was that they there were so many calls that the police department, who was all hands that day, was totally overwhelmed. And it was like, there's 800 Portland cops. They have $230 million a year in budget. They showed up immediately when a right-wing protester started firing on a crowd downtown, which is, you know, an affluent white part of town. But nothing happens when there's this clash in Northeast in the most diverse neighborhood in Portland. It just kind of puts a lie to everything they've said. And I think there was this wonderful moment. We parked right outside the site of the shooting, and there was a big there was a sign like a block or so away that we came upon that just said choose love like in front of that sign were all the police cars and stuff as they were like arresting this man who had fired a handgun into a crowd. And somebody posted it on Twitter, don't choose love, choose level 4, which is like talking about body armor, which is, you know, I think a reasonable statement. Like that, and it kind of gets to the heart of what Portland's had to do as a result of police failures and local government failures to stop this shit, which is people have had to come up with their own solution. Those solutions are very mixed and certainly in a lot of cases worthy of criticism, but ultimately people have been having to work out kind of ad hoc how to respond to this shit because there's a problem. These folks are coming into town and doing horrible violence. And none of the people whose job it is to protect citizens have been protecting citizens. So citizens have had to try to develop their own measures, and those have been a variety of things. But like at the end of the day, what are you going to do if your government says we're not going to,
yeah,
when these people come to town to beat the shit out of you, we're not going to take any action.
How's the mood on the ground there amongst activists? I'm curious, because I know, I mean, you've been so deeply involved with all of these protests and this whole movement in Portland. And I know that you were feeling pretty down about things.
Yeah. You know, there was a mix. The good thing, a lot of folks showed up. Because so many folks showed up downtown, they moved their rally to another part of town because they were scared of all the people that showed up. It's worth looking at photos of events from 2018 and seeing how much smaller the right-wing gatherings are today.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not to say that there hasn't been an impact as a result of the anti-fascist organizing, but it's also, there's, you know, the response on the 22nd in particular had some notable flaws, including kind of a disorganized response to when shit cooked off in Northeast, where you had these small groups of people showing up to confront them and getting, you know, beaten very badly. You didn't have kind of an effective strategy for dealing with that second gathering. And you also had, I think some of this was just like, Portland has had a quieter summer than a lot of people expected. So when there was a shooting downtown, folks got all amped up and started building barricades and doing the things they do mm-hmm. at protests. We're like, all right, time to get ready to defend ourselves here. And it was this, you know, I don't have an issue with that so much, but it was just a matter of like, as someone who thinks that like a community response is necessary to these events, there's aspects of the community response that we got on the 22nd that I thought were unnecessary and even counterproductive in some ways. And I don't want to, we talk about that again on It Could Happen Here a lot. But I think in general, one of the issues that was present on that day is that you have a lot of people, as people have encountered more and more violence personally during these events, they've gotten kind of desensitized to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you've seen a decline in sort of the effective other strategies people used, and folks kind of defaulting more and more to like, well, it's time to build barricades and pull out mace. And it's you know, some of it's just because I think people were excited to get a chance to be out in the streets doing stuff. I think some of it, a lot of it was just people were really amped up from the shooting. And you know, there was a, in terms of like the ineffective or the questionably effective stuff I saw, one thing that was very effective was the armed anti-fascists who responded to the guy firing a handgun into a crowd. Cause there was a single dude firing a handgun into a crowd. Two people reportedly drew guns to confront him. At least one of them fired. They both took effective cover beforehand. They both aimed low enough that though their shots missed, none of them hit windows. They were hitting the base, like the foundation of a building. So not an area in which they were likely to go through and hit other people. And they, none of them dumped their magazines. You know, that's a thing that often happens in stressful situations. Someone just fires the whole magazine very mm-hmm. quickly. They were fairly controlled with the situation, and they were not firing at a guy who was running away, not firing at a guy. They were firing at a situation in which returning fire was really the only effective response because he was shooting into a crowd. And so that part was positive. There were just also things that I think were flawed, including kind of not having a comprehensive way of dealing with the fact that they'd moved their gathering to the Northeast. That was just kind of more of an organizational flaw. And then you also get individuals at these events who are kind of more amped up and aggressive than others who did some stuff that's fucked up. And it, again, it's this problem of, yeah, that's going to be a problem with kind of a decentralized horizontal movement aimed at community defense. And it's a thing that movement has to come up with solutions for, because you can't have all of these different kind of negative trends extending into forever. At the same time, I don't agree with people who are like, well, just don't show up, because, you know, we've seen in Los Angeles what happens when there aren't large counters to these right wing events. Right wing protesters have been showing up like outside of clinics, assaulting cancer patients who are wearing masks.
Yeah.
Assaulting people outside of the Wii Spa, assaulting people outside of City Hall, and, you know, assaulting press, assaulting. And they Proud Boys yesterday or 2 days ago assaulted like a bunch of women in their 50s who had shown up no masks. They weren't Antifa. They were just showing up with signs to counter-protest the Proud Boys. They got, like, maced and assaulted.
Where?
Right in front of the Proud Boy gathering outside.
Wow.
So it's not a, I don't agree with people who are like, folks should stop rallying to defend the town. But no. It is a matter of, like, I think analysis needs to be had about what's working and what's not. Because I think people can get emotionally tied to things that used to work or things that feel like they should work. And the right is constantly iterating and adapting their strategies. And that's part of what Portland is for them. It's where they try, because they know the police aren't going to do anything. It's where they try new strategies out.
Right.
And so it is very important to disrupt them in places like this. And yeah, it's
a lot of responsibility for one town.
Yeah. And it's, you know, everyone in Portland is a little bit deranged from trauma. I include myself in that. Like, everybody's responses are a little wonky at this point, from the press down to the, from the press and the protesters down to like bystanders. Because even like the random locals we were talking to had all seen street fights, or in some cases been in them. Like, they weren't there to protest. They just lived in the neighborhood and were like, oh, yeah, well, you know,
I mean,
2 years ago, I got maced at one of these things.
Trauma is the exact right word.
Yeah.
For everybody living there, and it ratchets up the tensions well. And that's a strain that you're carrying around, and a fear of when it's happening next or what's next. Because it's going to happen again. They're there. They're doing shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to respond to it. It sounds like a very difficult environment to be right now.
Well, it is. It's a nationwide problem. And I do think
it is. But you are in a specific hotbed of it. But yes, it is.
Yeah. It's a nationwide problem. And a disproportionate burden for kind of coming up with effective solutions on it has been put on a bunch of like random people in Portland, Oregon. And so the fact that there's been a very mixed efficacy in the responses people have come up with is kind of inevitable, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's a difficult thing to know how to handle. And I don't entirely know like what the best solution is. This is kind of a new problem. And even if you look back at the last society to deal with this heavily, like you look at, Weimar Germany, as much as, you know, I have respect for the anti-fascists in Germany during that period. And I think I think people need to learn from them, not by just emulating them, because at the end of the day, that shit didn't do the trick,
didn't
you know?
Work, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's tough. I don't know. That's all I got to say.
That was a good amount. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have been able to tell that you're incredibly sick right now.
Yeah, not at all.
I'm horribly sick and about to run down to my bathroom again. So you guys
sounds
can close
like
the episode out.
Good place to
what
wrap
else is
things
gonna
up.
Run down?
You guys, check us out online at Worst Year Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Pray for Robert.
That was so bad.
Pray for Robert.
End of episode.
Everything's so dumb. Everything's so dumb, and it's gonna get dumber.
Great.
I tried.
Yes.
Daniel?
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch, so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.